Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, great first hour. I hope you enjoyed Dr. Oz. We'll replay that. It'll be up. Big Issues, Big Guest, if you missed it, on my Twitter, on the station's Twitter. That is big and good news. And that's exactly what I want RFK Jr. to be drilling down on. This is real reform. Tell these guys, yo, you're not going to continue to do this to the American people. And they've agreed. We'll see the reforms roll out. Now, here is Colbert attacking, playing the CNN line, this is cut 21, that we really didn't obliterate the Iranian nuclear program. All right? So I'm not saying we obliterated it. That's not the goal. The goal is to send message after message, maybe kill more of them if we have to. You're not getting a nuclear weapon. Even though you had people like Joy Reid on CNN on the big panel show last night asking the dumbest question imaginable, why do we get a nuclear weapon but not the Iranians? Oh, brilliant idea. Here's Colbert and listen to the audience response, cut 21.
Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated.
Okay, that's one less problem in the world. Except for one small problem. Today we learned that U.S. intelligence has determined Iran's stockpile of enriched uranium was not destroyed, and their centrifuges are largely intact. Oops, Anuki. So less Operation Midnight Hammer and more Operation MC Hammer. In that, Iran's nuclear scientists just sent this message about their centrifuges.
You can't touch this.
Still got it.
All right, so what is this celebration? What's the laughter? Iran sending a message to Trump. Ha ha. We got the nuclear weapon and there's nothing you're going to do about it. Is that what is funny? Is that what is creative out of this? Look, no one knows completely. How would we metric this? How would we look at it and determine exactly how much damage is there? We get that. But so many things to take away from this. You had a president that acted. You had a military and technology that was startling at how good it was. And you have the Iranians coming back to the table. Marco Rubio making that point. And we've arrested at least a dozen, if not more, 17 Iranian nationals that Biden let into the country have been arrested by ICE. Take every one of them and get them out of here. That's exactly what we should be doing. So why this? Why CNN? Because they hate Trump more than they love the country, or they love peace, or they love sanity, I guess. That's the only thing I can come up with. Anything that is not good for Trump, anything that diminishes, even in the slightest, they're going to laugh about it, they're going to parade it. And that's where we're going to go. They're going to look for that in the gray areas. Or I think in fairness, looking at it objectively, we don't know if we've damaged it beyond belief for years or years or whatever, but at least a few years. Yeah, well, couldn't we have done that with diplomacy? No, you can't do it with them. You're going to have to show force again and again with them. Or they die off and the people rise up, or you kill their nuclear scientist. That's the world. I look at the world and I say, that's the way the world is. All right, as I said, we hope to hear from Bill Devlin, Pastor Bill Devlin, there at the trial, the Fitzgerald trial. And again, what does it take to get the death penalty? And the answer is you can't get it in Philadelphia. I mean, it shouldn't take all these aggravating factors that he assassinated a cop after shooting him, stood over, and then fired again and again and again. It shouldn't take the family young family left with those children. It shouldn't take that. This is as close to the first degree murder textbook as you can imagine. But even that in Philadelphia is not enough to go with the death penalty. So effectively, they have taken the death penalty away. How did it happen? Well, I've told you some of the, look, the left is persistent, gnawing and gnawing away. One of the biggest things they did with the death penalty is make up the aggravating, mitigating columns that you have to go through to determine that. I don't care what the aggravating is. I don't care what the mitigating is. There's only one thing that matters. Did you take the life of this individual meeting the requirements of first-degree murder? If you did, you get executed. And then there are the religionists. And I've said many times, I don't care if the Pope from Villanova comes and sits in his studio and says, if you don't tell me right now you're against the death penalty, you are excommunicado. Well, I'll say back, you're excommunicado. How do you like that? No, I'm always going to be in favor of the death penalty. There's nothing that I can see that would change that. Let's go to Pastor Bill Devlin, who stepped out of the courtroom to give us an update on the trial. Hey, Bill Devlin, welcome back, Bill. What can you tell us?
Yeah, thank you, Dom and Dan. God bless you and thank you for all you're doing. I tell you, you know, I've been hanging around Marissa Fitzgerald and Chief Joel and his wife and the kids for these last 2.5 years. But, you know, Marissa's in the courtroom, sitting in the front row with her father-in-law, her mother-in-law, Sergeant Fitzgerald's mom and dad, and she has on his service, Temple University police officer jacket in the courtroom. So, and she's also handing out wristbands with a blue line and Officer Sergeant Fitzgerald's badge number 2362. So I had the opportunity to hug Marissa. And it's been 2.5 years. He was slain February 2023. And her tears, Dom, her tears, I get choked up when I say this, her tears are still flowing because of what this, as you say, this punk, and I say this punk from Buckingham Township did. The courtroom is packed. I stepped out. They're on lunch break. But I talked with some of the deputies there, and they feel that the life imprisonment sentence is going to be rendered later today or tomorrow morning. So they went through a lot of perfunctory DNA evidence about, you know, mm-hmm. what they got from the car that he carjacked, et cetera. But there's over 100 people. There are no seats in the courtroom, in courtroom 304. I invite people, if they're down in Center City listening, just stop in, say a quick prayer for Marissa Fitzgerald. The children are not there. I talked with her pastor, Pastor Juan Manado, and he's taken such wonderful care. I talked to Chief Joel, his wife, that, as you said, you know, they live out in Denver now. They're still in the police force out there. But, Dom, it's a sad, sad day. When you think of this young mother who's now widowed because of this individual who decided to assassinate Officer Christopher Fitzgerald that night back in February of 2023, Marissa's tears are still flowing. She has Sergeant Fitzgerald's jacket on, and the courtroom is packed, predominantly people of color, and myself. But it's really a sad day here at 1301 Filbert Street. But we're hoping that, you know, I'm with you, Dom. I've said it publicly. I said it in the Delaware Valley Journal today in that article. This guy, Miles Pfeffer, he should get the death penalty, no question. And yet, because of Larry Krasner's foolishness, and I talked to Chief Joel about this morning when I was there in the courtroom, and with Pastor Juan, it's just unbelievable, you know, that this guy is going to spend the rest of his life in prison at taxpayer expense. And it's just a sad, sad day, particularly that Marissa, you know, she really now reminds me of Maureen Faulkner, Dom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Maureen Faulkner has had to live with the memory of her assassinated husband, Danny Faulkner, for the last 44 years. And you know what? Marissa's a young woman. She's in her 30s, her four kids, and she has to live with this memory for the rest of her life.
Yeah, I don't remember if the Faulkners, it's a blessing maybe, Bill, that the Faulkners didn't have children at that point. I'm thinking about it. I don't think they did, so that they had to go through that. They were, I think, in their mid-20s, something like that early on. Yeah, or maybe even like 24, 25 to go through that. And look, Maureen Faulkner has developed into someone who's taken all that. And it's emotional for her, but she's able to put it aside and communicate. We've seen her for all these widows, and it never goes away. It is universal. It does not go away. And yet, not enough religious figures, thank God her pastor's there and you, are supportive of this and telling people what they're feeling about this is correct, and what Krasner and his supporters are feeling is not correct.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, it was interesting because on this break for lunch, I actually I saw a colleague who were involved in the pro-life movement together, Philadelphia, for the last 45 years. And he said, hey, he said, Mark Houck is down at Planned Parenthood at 14th and Walnut. So it was ironic that, you know, here I am with at the Fitzgerald trial. And then I go down a few blocks and I spend half an hour with Mark Houck. And by the way, breaking news, he is going to get a huge settlement from the U.S. Department of Justice in probably 2 weeks. That's Mark just told me that an hour ago. So I'll get back to you about that and see what happens.
Is he able to talk about that, Bill, or no, you don't know?
I'll ask him because I just saw him an hour ago. And I'll ask him and I'll put him in touch with you and Dan and we'll see what happens. But Don, I just want to go back. You know, when I'm there in the courtroom giving Marissa Fitzgerald, the widow of Sergeant Christopher Fitzgerald. And, you know, by the way, he's buried about a mile from my home up there in Lower Moreland Township at Shalom Cemetery. So at the corner of Philmont Avenue and Byberry Road in Northeast Philly. And I go there at least once a month just to say a prayer for his family. But, you know, Dom, when I'm there in the courtroom and I see a line of people just hugging Marissa, and those tears are as fresh today on the 25th of June, 2025, in that courtroom 304, as they were the night that she got that call in February of 2023 that your husband has been murdered, he's been assassinated, and you need to come down to the hospital right now. So it's just, it breaks your heart, Dom, that like we said about Maureen Faulkner, Marissa Fitzgerald now joins that unfortunate group of police officer widows. And there she is. I know I'm being repetitive, but there she is. She's wearing his jacket today. His jacket there in the courtroom and handing out these rubber wristbands with a thin blue line and his badge number 2362. So, you know, I just invite all of your listeners, Dom, to say a prayer for Marissa Fitzgerald. You know, when he was killed 2 years ago, Dom, all four of his children were under the age of 12 years. Yep. And now Marissa, with help from her in-laws, mom-in-law and dad-in-law, she's had to raise those children alone because of what this guy, Miles Pfeffer, did, this person from Buckingham Township in Bucks County. So we wish for the death penalty, but it's not going to happen. And, yeah, there needs to be more pastors and priests and bishops and cardinals speaking out, Dom. But, you know, they're afraid. They're not going to do it. So just remember to pray for Marissa and the kids.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Let us know if the verdict comes down. Thank you, Pastor.
I shall. God bless.
All right, Pastor Bill Demblin. He mentioned Mark Houck there, Dan, too. You might want to text if he wants to come on, if he can talk about it, and tell us, according to Pastor Bill, that he expects the settlement with the Department of Justice, remember Mark Houck, right, to be coming down within 2 weeks. And again, the reason for this is the Trump administration doing the right things here versus what was going on before. The man who was just under fire of men with huge firearms coming into his house because of a little tiff that he had on the sidewalk over there at 12th and Pine, I guess, around the issue of abortion. That case, good for the Trump administration. We'll bring it to you as soon as it happens. And Pastor Bill, on this, from what I know, they could reach a verdict today, might be more likely sometime tomorrow. I'm not so sure about the sentence of life imprisonment. We'll see when it happens with the judge or who determines that. Certainly, Larry Krasner essentially saying, I'm not going to follow the law, just like Josh Shapiro. He's not going to. The law is death penalty for first degree murder. That's the law. Now, Larry Krasner, of course, we know about that. But Josh Shapiro is running for president of the United States. He's been doing that since kindergarten. And we now know he's against the death penalty, which is the law federally again now, actively, thanks to President Trump. Is America going to take that into account, or does everybody say they're in favor of the death penalty? But then if there's a politician who's not, he doesn't pay a price for it. It just amazes me where we've gone with this and how adamant I feel about it. I can't imagine any circumstance. And the reason is, I think if you're on trial for your life, you ought to get the very best attorneys that we can find and the best investigator / DNA. And if the person can't afford it, we ought to pay taxpayer money to go to that. And then if you're convicted after that, which this guy will be, well, then you get the death penalty. Mumia, you get the death penalty. All right, 855-839-1210. We're reaching out to Mark Houck. We'll let you know if he's coming on. That would be a big victory that after all that, you know, personally, the people that should pay for that would be the Biden administration, the FBI and their nonsense toward Catholics, toward people of faith showing up at 7 o'clock in the morning with 7 kids in the house. What kind of group does it? People that are anti the faith. People that are abortion on demand. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get in right now. All right, it is Dom time. Thanks to Pastor Bill Devlin. Mark Houck will join us at 1:30, and it appears that a settlement is coming his way. Even though it's taxpayer money, I hope it's millions. But I'd like to see it taken out of the hide of people like Joe Biden and the former head, the attorney general and the like, who go wild on over this FACE Act. If you do anything near an abortion, oh, my God, that's it. You murder someone outside of that area. Eh, well, no big deal. Thanks on YouTube to Mark asking when we'll be at Mulligan's next. And that's probably going to be sometime in July. We'll give you all the info well in advance. He thinks Mulligan's just has great food and a gem of a place in Wildwood, New Jersey. Aww. It's the summer White House. Absolutely. I told him, John, can't we make a Mulligan Shore Bar and summer White House?
Well, Mark, where the heck were you 5 days ago?
Yeah, right. I mean, come on. We can't do a bigger event than that. The doors will have to be taken off the place. Yeah. Although I have some ideas in mind. And our buddy Robin is working with Kelsey Grammer again.
Oh, really?
Might be a politics and pints event.
Oh, okay.
And Kelsey has that book out about the murder of his sister.
Oh.
And again, I'm going to put, if we get him on stage, a huge plate of French fries. And I'm just going to watch him. If you watch that video, it's like a thespian. It's like Shakespeare watching him eat the French fries.
I think he did have a pinky up at one point.
Yeah. But he and pouring beers for hours and all, I mean, talking with Johnny's kids at that point, that was as good as it gets, sitting there with Kelsey Grant. Now, he did have the persnickety guys whispering in his ear, don't answer that question. Can't say that. And on we went, you know, because they had the writer's strike. So yeah. What am I going to talk about? I told Dan for an hour. If I can't ask about Cheers and everything, well, can't answer that question.
Almost seemed like a test because you didn't ask the question, yeah. And then Kelsey like jumped right into it. He was like, "Yeah, Frasier this, Frasier that." And you're
Let's
like,
talk about the beer. I'm happy to talk about the beers, but I'm not doing an hour on beers when we got Kelsey Grammer here. And he talked about this gay producer that he had when he was working prior to being an actor or semi-actor. And I think the guy was married, and he had to ask him a question. Just the way Danny said, "Kels, come on over, have a beer." I was amazed at the guy. But he has a serious book out about his sister. We are working on it. Let's go to David in Somerset on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, David.
Hey, Dom. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good.
Thanks again for last Friday. It was really great to catch up with old friends and all, you know?
Oh, God. That was our best Mulligans yet. Well, the Kelsey Grammer. It's hard to say.
We had no cover band either, you know?
Well, that's your department.
Yeah,
there you go.
And David got to stay vertical this time, which was nice. He didn't end up horizontal.
I have it at home, David. A guy gave me this new football from Bridgestone, telling me that it will fly at least 10 yards further. So that would make me at about 55
yards. It's kind of cheating, though, is it not, David?
No, it's not.
Henry, you got a ball that's made out of Bridgestone rubber like a tire.
It's meant to go further. Wait a minute. Can you throw a tire 50 yards? We'll see.
Is that the next challenge?
Yeah, that's the next challenge. Tire throwing.
truck tire.
We're going to have a tire-tossing challenge now?
Well, remember,
I thought we were going to hit golf balls.
Well, soon as Jaws is ready, do you remember the Iron Man thing? They used to pick up beer barrels and be throwing it.
We could do that
at Mulligan's.
Marlin, our friend, came in and said a soccer kick. How far can Dom kick a soccer ball?
Oh, the soccer kick.
Can you kick it further or throw a ball further, you think?
Then as kicking a soccer?
Throw
a soccer ball or throw a football?
Can you kick a soccer ball or throw a football further?
Throw a football further.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't know about kicking
a soccer. You're one of those guys that your foot hits the ball and it just goes like veers to the right instantly.
No, but I don't think it would go that far.
I might have to do this, Marlon.
Okay. David, what do you have today?
Well, I'll just make it short because you got someone coming up. My farmer is Thomas Jefferson, the man who penned our Declaration of Independence.
Absolutely. And I don't think he was quite a gentleman farmer. I think he actually farmed at various points.
I love that our callers stick to the clock better than we do, Dom.
Yeah, exactly. Nicely played by you, David. All right, you're going to be – we got several guys that want to catch the pass from Jaworski. We're going to have a contest for
that. I hate to say it, but the last caller gets first place on that after diving.
Oh, diving for that. Coming up, Mark Houck at 2 o'clock. Our buddy Dawn Fantasia is right in the middle. It's making national news of this New Jersey family, Cranberry, New Jersey, Andy's Farm. They just want to save their farm, but oh, no. Remember? The first case in law school at Rutgers we got into that I remember was the Mount Laurel decision about so-called affordable housing there. So they're going to take away this guy's farm in order to give so-called affordable housing. Anytime you're taking away farms, you got to think, come on now, family farm coming down, the whole thing. Oh, no, we got to take away the farm. She'll break all that down. And the playbook yesterday, Mikey Sherrill, where did she go? Abortion. That if Jack Cittarelli is elected, you're not going to be able to get an abortion in New Jersey. Really? It's in the Constitution. What's he going to do? Mark Houck next for an update. Talk Radio 1210. All right. It is Dom time. Mark Houck, the story is just out of this world, has been a pro-life supporter. And someone who has had a fervent desire to spread that message and got caught up in a relatively minor thing, I think over at 12th and Pine or thereabouts, at an abortion center there. And even though Larry Krasner did not go after him, the federal government went wild. The state government also showing up at his home out in the suburbs, I think on a Sunday morning around 7:30 a.m., seven kids in his house and his wife. Heavily armed beyond belief to bring him in, even though he had offered to surrender. His trial in Philadelphia had great representation and, of course, right on his side, and the jury didn't take too long to come back. But what is he deserving of when he's been put through this governmental excess, to put it mildly? Apparently, he's at his post down there in Center City, Philadelphia, at an abortion clinic, and he joins us on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mark, good to talk with you again. Pastor Bill Devlin is a conduit in mysterious ways. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Dom. Thanks for having me. Yeah, Pastor Bill swung by at 12th and Locust, and here we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 12th and Locust. I'm sorry I put it at the wrong spot. Back to the scene of the crime, so to speak. And Mark, we have great news, though. Thanks to the Trump administration, I don't think this would have happened otherwise. What's going to happen?
Well, we're currently in settlement negotiations with the DOJ, and thankfully to the Trump administration, we have people like Pam Bondi, Todd Blanche, and in particular Stanley Woodward, who are helping to bring closure and healing to people like myself, my wife, and my seven children. So things are not done yet, but we are close to a settlement. We had an initial, notice of claim. When Joe Biden was in office, of course, the DOJ ignored us, and they ignored us all the way up to inauguration. But since the inauguration of Donald Trump, we've been slowly working to usher for some sort of closure with all this after, 4 years now since the original incident.
How are your kids? I mean, your kids are used to this. They know the dad is an activist out there in the pro-life movement. I think one of your sons was there at that point, but still, correct, when people are at your house that heavily armed on a Sunday morning taking dad away, it's shocking.
Look, we all have PTSD. We've talked about this before. I was out of the home yesterday with my wife, and there was an unannounced guest on the property. I told the kids, lock the doors, don't open the door. I mean, we're all in heart palpitations, wondering what was going on. So it is still very much a real surreal thing for us. There's no innocence restored when the government comes paramilitary style raid upon your home at 6:30 in the morning, waking your kids, holding them at M16 gunpoint. There's no innocence restored there. So we're working through it. Mm-hmm. Therapy, all of it. It is what it is.
How about the state level, Mark? You know that I jump on that part, too, because it wasn't just the federal government. There were state police there either witnessing it or whatever, but they're part of this also, and that was in the Wolf administration.
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly who was there. We have Bucks County Sheriff, PA State Troopers, federal agents, as well as Philadelphia PD and local PD, and a social worker. And that tells you that they knew little children were going to be harmed. Yeah, the Commonwealth that was included in our suit, unfortunately, there's not much there for the Hauck family, justice-wise. I mean, they all claim the federal government.
Mark, you've broken up there. While we're waiting for Mark to come back with us on YouTube, Dan just put up the picture that Bill sent us of Mark Hauck and Bill, or Mark Hauck and the family, I guess. 6:30 a.m. Imagine on a Sunday morning, you know the story. The guy's willing to surrender. Why do this? How do you think you're going to win in court, even in Philadelphia court? You're not. But you send a message. And the message to Mark Hauck and others who don't have as much resilience maybe is, you don't want to be involved in this stuff. This is the highest priority to us, not murdering somebody, but being involved in the slightest around an abortion clinic. We're going to send everything we can at you. Mark? Okay, Mark, I think he's only 10 blocks away here, but
we got him back. We're
okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, Mark. Mark?
I'm here.
Okay,
yeah,
there
Mark.
Is, sorry.
So, the idea of making this literally a federal case under that administration, they were sending a message that others, maybe not as resilient as you, just give up this movement. You don't want to be anywhere near there because anything that happens, you could have the full force of the federal, state, and even local government come down on you.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, they were all involved, and there was collusion for sure. I told you before I broke off, we had Philadelphia PD, Bucks County Sheriff's, PA State Troopers, local PD, and a social worker. So they knew that my children were going to be in harm's way, and they all agreed and conspired to be there. So unfortunately, though, before we got cut off, they were all deputized under the federal government's federal immunity. They're all deputized, and the Third Circuit in Philadelphia, Judge Diamond, agreed with that and basically told the Commonwealth that their troopers did nothing wrong. So it is what it is. We have to live with that. But the federal government is recognizing that they're not going to defend the Biden regime's actions. They're going to help bring about closure. They don't want to defend what they did. And they recognize that they have a role here to help our family heal and many others. And like you said, it was total intimidation and scare tactics, which we still feel the effects to today, till this day. But nonetheless, we need to bring about a punitive settlement that's going to send a message once and for all, and the federal government is fully behind sending that message thanks to Donald Trump.
Absolutely. Mark, what's next for you? What's going on now? What are you planning to do next?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Dom. The federal government did a great job smearing my name and reputation, as well as Brian Fitzpatrick. But nonetheless, my ministry is collapsing as a result of that. This is part of our damages. So Mark Houck is actively looking for gainful employment, and we'll see where that takes us and what the Lord has for us. But they kind of brought about more damages than we all ever realized or anticipated. But, you know, it is what it is. Once you're charged as a felon, it's perception's reality. And people believe you to be a felon, you know, not a felon.
What's your area, Mark, of expertise in case we have people that know of something or down the line they tell me, you know, we're constantly people remember stuff. What skill set, what area are you in?
Well, look, I'm an evangelist. I'm an educator. I got a master's degree in education.
Okay.
Did that for a number of years, BA, you know, so we're open to whatever God has. If there's an opening with somebody who wants a brave and courageous father of soon to be 8 children, my wife's pregnant, praise God. You know, we're open to that.
All right, Mark, we'll stay in touch. Thank you. Thanks for coming on today, Mark.
All right, Dom. Take care. God bless.
Mark Houck, now 8 children. All right. You remember that case. It's infamous. And here the Trump administration jumping in, doing the right thing, and moving the ball forward. We'll bring that to you as soon as it's settled. And thanks to Pastor Bill Devlin. Coming up at 2:00, we're going to talk with Dawn Fantasia. Yesterday, Mikey Sherrill all over the place. It's a day. It was the 3-year anniversary of Dobbs trying to make the case in Jersey. If Jack Ciattarelli is elected, you won't be able to get an abortion in New Jersey. It's in the Constitution. There are the abortion, 2 or 3 states, you know, right up there. It's beyond the First Amendment. Hey, right to get an abortion. First Amendment 1A, nope, right to get an abortion. That's the main thing. We'll talk about this Andy's Farm that, thank God, Fox News is putting it out there nationally, that they're going to force them to sell because in their area, Cranberry, New Jersey, they want the Mount Laurel decision, so-called affordable housing. What does Mikey Sherrill say about that? What would she do? The White House is heavily involved in trying to stop this. It's a big national case. Andy's Farm in Jersey. All right, she'll break that to both things down, a couple of other things too. All right, side question today, all-time farmer, National Farmer Day, 855-839-1210. Well, let's talk the big trip, though. The big, beautiful trip. That's our trip, Ro and I, and you, hopefully, and tons of Talk Radio 1210 listeners headed to Sicily and Calabria this fall. Nobody masters Italy and those places like conservative tours. Our guide Lorenzo and his team all hail from Calabria. So does Ro. Picture, though, Sicily first. The bustling, colorful markets of Palermo, framed by the azure Mediterranean. Admire the awesome beauty of the architecture that recalls the invasion of the Arabs and Normans. And they say at Conservative Tours, it's a challenge to fully slot Italy into Italy's culture because so many other people have contributed. The Byzantine mosaics of Monreal attest to this distinction. Local wineries where dining events will amaze. Yeah, the local winery. Marsala, Trapina, Cefalo, and a remnant of Greek civilization, the Valley of the Temples. all this together with listeners, the only way to go, $55.44, including airfare. All you have to do to get the details is go to conservativetours.com or call them now, speak to someone, 888-733-9493. We'll be on the cliffs of Taormina. We'll be in the afternoon sun in Sicily. The Godfather Tour. It's all there. One phone number to call. 888-733-9493. All right, it is Dom time. All right, Dan had Green Acres. Yeah, I remember that now. All-time farmer, National Farmer Day. By the way, speaking of settlements, and this was a sad case, but still, I predicted it then, and I'll say now, I don't agree with it. The cop did not follow ultimately procedures. Remember this in a really nice neighborhood I know pretty well down in South Philly? When TJ Sedario opened fire on undercover cops, he was 12. Remember that? Shot out the back windows and all, glass flying. One of the undercover cops ended up with severe eye injuries. And they ran him down. And unfortunately, the one cop violated procedures, at least that's what the court said, and ended up shooting him to death. He was only 12. He was being raised by the grandparents, according to news reports. And now, as I understand it, the mom and dad, who at best were very absent, 12-year-old running around with the undercover cops going after them because they had guns. 12! They get $3 million in Philadelphia. All right? So you understand the kid and the cop got some sentence for this. But $3 million to these parents, as predicted at that time, that's what's going to happen. A 12-year-old firing through the back window at undercover cops. Let me get the exact. I think it was 13th and Bigler, in an area where you don't expect few, if anything, like this. 18th and Barbara Streets in South Philly. I think it's right near the playground. Nice area. I played ball there, et cetera. $3 million after some years of contesting this. All right. We are looking for that all-time farmer. Dawn Fantasia, I'm not sure if she's ever farmed, but she's rural New Jersey. She's in the on-deck circle because this farm, Andy's Farm, it looks like they're going to take away unless the White House can stop them in Jersey under the Mount Laurel decision. Let's go to Joe in Exton. And Joe, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe, welcome in.
Yes, hello, Dom, and good afternoon.
Afternoon.
My all-time farmer are the Amish farmers in Pennsylvania. The food they produce is both wholesome and delicious.
Joe, that's a good one. And the other day, and it was viral, they showed a couple of hundred Amish men moving, I think it was the house or at least a giant barn with no equipment, moving it 500 feet. It was all over the place. I mean, this is a huge enterprise.
Dom, you also see a couple weeks ago, there was a video of a Pennsylvania man who hired a pair of Amish workers, Amish teenagers, to come build a deck in his backyard. He comes back a couple hours later. It's like perfectly done.
How do they do this? Yeah, it's without modern appliances.
It's fascinating. It is.
Dan, I know Henry's probably seen it. You've never seen Witness?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, you have seen Witness.
Oh,
I could go
and
I actually haven't seen it.
Oh, I could go and watch Witness now. That scene when the two of them, Kelly Gillis, or is it McGillis, or Gillis, and Harrison Ford come together, the romantic tension that's there is unbelievable. And it's a great Harrison Ford role, and the guy who keeps on calling them the English. You know who knows about the Amish, of course? Scott Presler. Can you imagine Scott Presler with the Amish? It just seems to be incongruous that these two would hit it off. That's some of his best stuff, though. All right. Dave in Doylestown. Hey, Dave. Afternoon to you.
Hey, Dom. The original TV sitcom Farm Show starred Richard Crenna as Luke McCoy and Walter Brennan as Amos McCoy on The Real McCoys.
Yeah, The Real McCoys was a pretty pop boy. That might even be early 60s, though. I'm not sure. That was up there with The Rifleman. All right, coming up, We have Dom's Money Melody. Yes, we have that $50 gift card to the Melting Pot. Oh, to the Melting Pot today, not the Metro Diner.
Get
some cheese, baby.
Dan perks up. He hears cheese and he doesn't care about the disaster
fondue.
The fondue.
So the listeners might not know I'm a lactose intolerant.
Oh, man. Let's go to the Melting Pot, Maisie says. Maybe not.
It's a great one.
I like fondue.
Hey, also, for YouTube alert, I'm sending Henry now the video of those Amish kids building the deck in the back. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is hard to believe the stuff that they engage in. So we'll talk to Dawn about this situation with Andy's Farm making national news where the White House is intervening. And if you don't remember the Mount Laurel decision, my first two cases I remember, freshman law school, the Mount Laurel decision. And the Vogel saying, one kid kicks another in the knee, doesn't know he has an eggshell knee. And that's no excuse under the law. You kicked him in the knee, you know, really hard, like a leg kick, and the guy was disabled from it. You can't kick the guy in the knee. That's what I remember from freshman year law school. That and shepherdizing cases. All right. So, that's right, too. Winning moot court. I almost forgot. 855-839-1210. You get on board. Dawn Fantasia is next. She'll lay it out, and we'll talk the governor's race, how all this stuff is playing out, including even what's going on in Iran. The two of them are duking it out around that. And we'll get Dom's Money Melody and the side question going here on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.